Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome back in. The Stern and Show, Ron the Show, Hughley filling in again today. And we are blessed to be joined. I can't wait. And I know he's probably still reeling, recovering from his Baylor Bears losing to my Kansas Jayhawks, the number one team in the country, the new number one on the road at the Ferrell Center, beating his Baylor Bears. I know he's still recovering, but I'm sure he's enjoyed himself in Indy. We've got the great, the General John McClain, brought to us by Horn Solutions. Welcome in, John. How's it going?
Ron and Glenn, it's going great. Yes, I'm still recovering from that game. It's the largest crowd in Baylor history, and Kansas won by three. It was a great performance by the Jayhawks. Baylor, I think they beat Kansas State afterward. Now they play TCU, so there's a good chance they're going to meet again in the tournament.
Yeah, it is. I really enjoyed it. I know you didn't enjoy it as much.
I bet
as I
you did.
Boy, you didn't waste no time, did you?
Oh, show? I told you. I told you I was going to get him.
Hey, General, that wasn't on the damn rundown. I apologize about that, man. Hey, look, since you've been out there, since we talked to you last, Bill O'Brien he announced kind of flippantly and just kind of eased on through it that Tim Kelly was going to be the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator and call plays. Were you surprised in the way that Bill O'Brien announced it a couple of days ago?
Well, he didn't announce it. Announce is when you put out a release and tell people what you're doing. With three of us had a private session with him before he went in to meet with the mass media for his regular news conference, and Amy Pausick, his VP of communications, said, "Okay, guys, he's got to get in there. We got time for two more questions." And Sarah Barshop of ESPN, Aaron Reese of The Athletic, one of them asked a question, and I'm thinking, you know, I throw it out there. I said, "Bill, by the way, you giving any more thought to having Tim Kelly call plays?" And he hesitated a minute. He said, "Timmy's going to call plays," and almost swallowed my cell phone, which also is my tape recorder, and I had to turn it upside down, keep recording while I tweeted that Tim Kelly was going to call plays, because as you guys know, that was a bombshell. And he did the same thing he did with George Godsey. George Godsey was quarterback's coach in 14. He promoted him to offensive coordinator, let him call plays. Godsey was not good at it. Of course, he didn't have Deshaun Watson either. And so Bill took it back over, and then Godsey was fired after the 2016 season. But Kelly's been with him. This will be his ninth year. Tim's only 33 years old, and he was with him as a GA 2 years at Penn State. So he's going to be a first-time play caller. Anthony Weaver is going to be a first-time play caller, but they've got two veterans as resources in O'Brien and Romeo Crennel. And so for all those people who wanted O'Brien to give it up, no matter who it was to, it's a great opportunity for Tim Kelly, who wants to be a head coach. And if you're calling plays and you do well, as you guys know, that enhances your chances, and having Deshaun Watson certainly is an advantage.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, that if you're going to be a first-time play caller, boy, you sure do want to do it for the Texans, because they got some talent on this offense, and obviously it starts with Deshaun Watson. John, I can't let you just slide by that three-person private session you had with the head coach of the Texans. Now, who's all in that private session, and how do I get in it?
Well, you got to cover the combine, number one. There was the three I mentioned, Sarah Barshop, Aaron Reese, and I. We were covering it. And they always do that. Usually every coach or GM after they're on their podium and they answer questions from the masses, they go off to the side to talk to their local people because a lot of them, like O'Brien, hadn't talked since right after the loss to I won't say who it is. And so this was the first time he talked. And instead of doing it afterward, he did it before. And he talked, you know, they still haven't announced anything, but O'Brien being the GM and Jack Easter being executive vice president of football ops. So we asked him everything we could locally because I didn't want to waste the media's time from around the country. They wanted to ask, you know, things about the CBA and the 17th game and all the Watson and, you know, Hopkins and Watt and all the stars. They didn't want to be concerned with the minutiae of the coaching staff. And but it was a very productive session. And I'm guessing the next time Bill talks will be right. We'll be at free at the league meetings. We get those coaches for an hour. You want to watch coaches squirm. They never have to sit that long with the media, and they have to sit there for an hour while waves of reporters come over and usually ask them a lot of the same things. So we'll get Bill then, and then the next time I guess he'll talk will be right before the draft.
This is John McClain brought to us by Horn Solutions joining us. That's John McClain, by the way, that team was the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was 51-31.
Yeah, I forgot.
In that game, if you just
what was that score
you.
Again?
I think it's 51-31.
Okay, I forgot 50, that too.
52-7 run there. The Chiefs hit. It's crazy because you are so keyed in as anybody. Why were? Because you said you almost swallowed your cell phone. Why were you so shocked by the decision that he was going to turn over play calling?
Because he'd only done it once, and he hadn't done it in the last 5 years. And I know how much he likes coaching Watson. And I know how much Watson likes him. And while everybody wanted O'Brien dumped as a play caller, if Will Fuller stayed healthy all year, they would have been the seventh highest scoring team in the league. But the problem is when he went out, they ran the ball a lot more. And I wrote about this, I think, Sunday. If they could somehow keep Fuller healthy for every game, there's a really good chance they could be one of the top scoring teams in the league, tops in offense. But I think we know that's not going to happen. And that's why they've got to be very tempted in a great class for receivers that's deep to take a receiver in the second or third round, even though they need corners first and foremost. And it's not as deep or as talented as receiver. And even though they need pass rushers, considering Kenny Stills and Will Fuller in the last year of their contracts, I think that they will take a receiver somewhere. They have 2 fourth-round picks, 2 3s and 2 4s. I'm confident one of those picks will be a receiver. And wherever you get him, in any other year, he would have been taken around higher. So if they use a 4, they're getting a guy that had been a 3. If they use a 3, they're getting a guy that had been a 2. And if you look at the success last year of all those receivers taken in second and third round, you don't have to take one in the first.
John, what do you that's the same thing. Like I think they're going to be in a predicament with that second round pick. I think there's going to be some names on the board that are awfully sexy that, as you just mentioned, could possibly have been late first round, early second round picks that the Texans are going to have a shot at. And their needs, their desperate needs, are going to be at other positions. Is that a problem you welcome? I mean, because I look at it and I go, I don't know if I'm mad at that or if it's a good thing. But is that something that you would look at as a good thing or the Texans may have to pass on a really good player to go need there?
Clint, I think that unless it's a quarterback, they're not going to take a quarterback no matter where they have him rated. But say they did take a receiver. That's easy to justify based on the things I just talked about. And, of course, a corner, a pass rusher. I don't see them drafting an offensive lineman or a tight end. You know, what if there's a running back? What if they re-sign Carlos Hyde, which I expect them to do, to be paired with Duke Johnson again, and they ran the ball. Those two, they had a good running game. They were top 10, 8th, I think. But then what if in the second round there's a really good running back they have rated as a first-round pick despite that not being a need? I'd be surprised if they did it, but that's going to happen too, because corners and running backs, those positions are for the bottom of the first round and second, third. And then receivers, of course, you can go fourth or fifth round this year. There's so many good ones. And, man, did they put on a show yesterday running. And it's kind of ridiculous for us. And I watched it when I got back to my room last night to sit there and watch guys run in their shorts and their T-shirts and catch the ball with nobody covering them and act like it's a big deal. If they don't do it, something's wrong with them. And quarterbacks, oh, man, look at him get the ball out. Look at that accuracy. Look at that release. Well, shouldn't it be, Clint? Wouldn't you like to sit up there all the time and throw the ball in your shorts and T-shirt and no helmet so your hair looks so good and you're not throwing against anything but air?
You're right. Hey, General, I'd have tore that damn combine up. I don't know that I'd have won many games, but I'd have tore that damn combine up if they'd have invited me now.
It's some of these guys, they got the greatest hair. We were talking about the quarterbacks, and Justin Herbert, he's got hair, but then he had to wear it wasn't a man bun. He had not a braid. It was a hair band to keep his hair back while he threw. And at some point, people would have made fun of him. Now with so many of them having such good hair, it's not surprising.
Are you jealous of this hair?
I was a long time ago, Ron, not anymore. It's like they say, you only control what you can control, and I lost control of my hair decades ago.
John McClain is with us, brought to us by Horn Solutions. So you were watching the receivers, not the top of the draft. I think everybody sees Jerry Jeudy, the Ruggs kid, the guys from Alabama, CeeDee Lamb. What receivers did you see that the Texans could have an opportunity to draft that were impressive to you?
Ron, great minds think alike. I'm looking at my list right here at the guys the scouts I've talked to and coaches. You know, obviously they look at the 40 times. And the two top receivers, CeeDee Lamb, he ran 4.50.
Come on.
Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, where they'll be 1 and 2, depending on your taste. Jeudy ran a 4.45. And, of course, Henry Ruggs III, who was supposed to threaten John Ross's record of 4.22, didn't come close, running only a 4.27. But those guys are going to be the first three. But the guys who could be at the bottom of the first round, second round, third round, who did really well, Baylor's Denzel Mims, who's 6'3". He ran a 4.38, caught everything. They loved his route running, and the guy's a blocking fiend. Texas Devin Duvernay ran a 4.39. He was tremendous this year in the slot. Southern Mississippi receiver Quez Watkins ran a 4.35. Tulane's Darnell Mooney ran a 4.38. And Memphis' Antonio Gibson ran a 4.39. And not just that, but the guys caught the ball. If you don't catch the ball when you're not being covered, then your stock's going to go down. Somebody brought up one time, and this makes so much sense, why do they let the players, when they're running 40, get out of track stance? They don't get out of track stance in games. Why don't they make them stand up like they do coming off the line of scrimmage? Why don't they let them wear a uniform and their football shoes and then see what they can do? Because this is, as they call it, the underwear Olympics. But if you don't catch the ball out here, then you must have pitchfork hands. We made fun of a writer from Atlanta today, D. Orlando Ledbetter, because he knocked over a drink at lunch, and we started saying he had about the fifth worst hands in the combine because we saw so many other receivers dropping the ball against air.
John, if it don't come natural by the time you get to the combine, whether you're talking about taking a drop, stroking the ball, or catching the ball, then you just ain't got much of a chance. You better be a hell of a special teams guy. Hey,
Clint, let me point out something right quick. And we all salivate over the 40 times, and that's true. Speed kills, and I admit I love watching the speed. I saw a list of the fastest players at the combine back to 2006, and only one, Titans running back Chris Johnson played well in the NFL. The fastest and the strongest are usually not productive players, but I went back to point out today in one of my stories on Texas Sports Nation, here are some 40 times of receivers who haven't been too shabby. DeAndre Hopkins, 4.57. Michael Thomas, 4.57. Mike Evans, 4.53. Larry Fitzgerald, 4.48. Now, Tyreek Hill ran a 4.29. He wasn't at the combine, but that is pro day. But you don't have to have that super speed to be a great receiver. Mm. And you were all fascinated. There's a receiver from Notre Dame. His name is Chase Claypool. Mm-hmm. And he looks like a tight end. I think, let me see how big he is. Claypool is 6'4 and a quarter, 248, ran a 4.42. And then the fastest tight end was, I can't pronounce his last name, from Missouri, Albert Owegabunam. He was 6'5.
Just call him Albert O. Just call him Albert O.
Albert O, that's good. He was, now, you know what, Ron, you ought to know that kid's pronunciation.
Yeah, Albert O. That's what I've always called him.
Yeah. I bet if he played for the Chiefs or the Jayhawks, you'd know how to pronounce it. He's 6'5 and a half, 258, and he ran a 4.49. And Cole McDonald from Hawaii was the fastest quarterback at 4.58.
Well, look, Cole McDonald's gonna change positions because that old stroke he had ain't gonna work in the.
Just took out this guy.
I'm just telling you, it ain't gonna work in the NFL. I mean, I don't know what some of these cats have been working on. John, I want to go back to those receivers that we were talking about earlier and get a little bit more specific. You mentioned some guys earlier. But I love Denzel Mims, by the way, out of Baylor. But we go through those guys, and it's like, Duvernay out of Texas.
Duvernay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a legit slot guy that's going to be – he's going to be in the mold of the Tyreek Hill, the Mecole Hardman, that role of a player, slot guy. And then the Denzel Mims is obviously an outside guy that can take the top off, that can do some things in the red zone. If you had to narrow down what you thought the Texans were really interested in a receiver, could you do that, or is it either or?
Well, right now, you think there's slot receivers, DeAndre Carter and Kiki QT after Kenny Stills. Now, Hopkins can play inside. Fuller can play inside, but usually they prefer outside. I don't think they would target either one, considering Fuller and Stills' contracts are up next year. I think whenever they take a receiver, they're going to take the best one they can get. The guy that I thought, and a lot of people thought, had the best day yesterday, last night, because they're on in primetime now, was Justin Jefferson of LSU. That kid was tremendous. He ran in a 4.4s, caught everything. He just exploded in and out of his routes. If the throws were off target, he caught them. And it's so funny. They have all the tape, practice and game day tape from every college game. But if a guy does great here with nobody covering him, his stock goes up. I've had Jefferson going in the first round of all my mock drafts. And there's no doubt to me right now, that guy, I would say he's the third or fourth best receiver behind Lamb and Judy.
Real quick, John, before we get you out of here, I'm curious. Now we're looking at, and I thought that was a really good question Clint brought up, of what style of receiver they're looking at. Now with Tim Kelly having a bigger role in terms of he's calling the offense, running a lot of game plans, do you think he has increased an increased voice on what type of receiver they draft or what type of offensive players they draft, or will it still be as it has been before?
I think that Kelly, he's been with O'Brien so long, and he's opinionated, and he's not afraid to give O'Brien his opinion. I think whatever he thinks they need, he's going to tell them. You know, they've got their pro and their college staffs working under the head coach and GM, and I think that's something we're going to have to see over time. By the way, Ron, I didn't bring up Baylor and Kansas football, and I'm trying to find a Kansas player here, and I've been looking over every sheet. Do they still play football at Kansas?
Hey, slow down. Les Miles is getting this thing turned around now. And there was no reason for you to do that. There was no reason.
D-Mac.
Udoka Azubuike abused you all last week. It was completely unfair. Hey. By the way, that Mims kid at Baylor, I am blown away by his 40 time. I don't see that 40 time.
No. I ain't letting
you. Can't just skim past that.
I can't let you switch gears like that
that is the first drive-by that I've heard the general
make since I've been part of Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, that was Sports Radio 610 history.
That was good.
That's all right. No, we'll be all right. Hey, we got corners. Yeah, we do. Chris Harris, he's one of the best corners in the league right now that the Texans would love to have. Huh? He went to KU.
Me and Gino ain't walking through that door, boss.
I'm down to my eighth page. I'm still looking here. Maybe I'll call you guys back Monday and I'll find somebody.
John McClain, that it just took me right out. Yes, thanks, John.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Take care, Ron.
All right. Coming up, a little. I thought we were going to 5 o'clock fire, but we already had it right here at 4:53. I tried to slide over to Mims.
Hell no. I ain't letting you do that.
Sniff that right out.
No.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.